Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The worst U.S. airline disaster in more than 20 years stuns the nation.
You know, you never know when you get on an airplane, but you never know when you get in a car either.
It's January 30th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm Alex Silverman. Coming up, in Altadena, a call to preserve a community devastated.
It is a place where the Black community put down roots when discriminatory redlining denied them mortgages elsewhere. They built something lasting here, something worth protecting.
And firefighters working unreal hours to protect us. For weeks,
only then to receive a paycheck of $0.
Why are they being shorted pay? It's all coming up, but first, this. Hey, if you're listening to this in an article on KNXnews.com, go right now to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, search for the LA Local, hit follow, and you'll get an update every weekday afternoon on everything you need to know that's happening in Southern California, and the morning and evening updates, too, from our colleagues at KNX News. People all over Southern California have been learning a lot about Altadena, in particular the fact that it's a place very proud of its people and its diversity and has been for a long time. Here is Victoria Knapp, who chairs the Altadena Town Council. I keep in mind, Altadena is unincorporated, so it has no real government. The town council exists essentially to advocate to the county supervisors and to other arms of government. And that's what she was doing today to some congressional Democrats who came through to see the devastation.
It is a community of rich racial, socioeconomic, and generational diversity, a place where working families, young professionals, and retirees have built lives side by side. It is a place where the Black community put down roots when discriminatory redlining denied them mortgages elsewhere. They built something lasting here, something worth protecting. And that is why federal support is not just about recovery. It is about preserving what makes Altadena unique.
I want to bring in my colleague, Karen Adams. Karen, you were there today, and you've been in that community a lot over the past couple of weeks. What have you learned about the community there?
It is a proud, strong, determined, resilient community. The people that I've spoken with, speaking with them, they're so determined in rebuilding and hanging on to the history of Altadena, because Altadena is California's first middle-class Black community. You know, it was where Black families moved to California to escape Jim Crow South. It was one place where Blacks didn't face the redlining or other discriminatory housing practices. And it's a wealth. The homes there, the homes that the Blacks have in, that they had in Altadena, because they've been wiped out, unfortunately. Black Altadena has been cleared out by the Eaton Fire. And what's so sad about that, with that destruction went their generational wealth. All of that equity that they had to pass on to their children and grandchildren, gone.
There has been some element, Karen, of a tale of two different types of places in these fires. You had Pacific Palisades, where the average home cost is several million dollars. And then you have Altadena, which is extremely diverse socioeconomically and racially. Is there a sense among people that they, you know, want their voices heard to a greater degree than have been so far in the communities you've talked to?
They do feel like all of the attention has been placed on the Palisades because of that wealth. And they do want their stories told because it's a, like you said, it's a rich, diverse community. Not only Blacks are there, but they're Blacks, they're Asian, they're Hispanics, Latinas. You have just a wealth of community in Altadena, and it's something that they don't want to be lost. They don't want it to be lost.
How did that Black community develop there in particular?
Alex, like I said, you know, many Blacks, you know, they wanted to buy homes, but they were locked out of mortgages in certain areas. The redlining took place, but Altadena opened their doors. So Black families were able to buy homes and flourish and live there. One of the victims of the fire was 83-year-old Rodney Nickerson. He was an engineer, lived there for more than five decades. He was the grandson of William Nickerson, who founded Golden State Mutual Life Insurance, and he was also the founder of Nickerson Gardens, the largest public housing development in LA. So these Blacks were professionals. You know, I was told that before Baldwin Hills, there was Altadena. That's where you had celebrities, Sidney Poitier, Terry Crews. They all went there and they lived there before they moved on to other parts of LA.
And unfortunately, one thing that has come up has been a divide in who received the emergency alerts. And there's a question about why a few people in the Black area of Altadena got the alerts. What have you been hearing about that?
Yeah, that is very interesting. I mean, when I first started covering the stories, I noticed that the Black people that I spoke with there in that community, they were telling me they didn't receive alerts, you know, and some told me they received it at 3:25 in the morning, but the fire was already in their neighborhoods. The fire was already consuming their homes. And they even said that they didn't even hear the sheriffs go down their streets. And when they left, they saw the sheriff's department of fire, you know, departments down the street on the block, but they were doing nothing. So, yes, Congresswoman Judy Chu and L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger, they have opened up investigations and probes, independent probes, into why that was, why they did not receive those alerts until hours, 9 hours after the Eaton fire exploded.
Karen Adams, thank you for all of that background and, you know, for helping us understand that community a little bit better. And, you know, as this goes forward over the next couple of years, all of these communities are going to need people getting the word out and advocating for them. And that's part of what you've been doing. So thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
You know, when you're in news, you see almost every day alerts about things happening at airports. There's a plane making an emergency landing. There's a radioing that there's some sort of problem on board. It almost always, 99% of the time, turns out to be nothing. Turns out to be either a false alarm or something that gets resolved or the plane lands safely. That is why it was so stunning what happened last night over Reagan National Airport in Washington. A mid-air collision, the first real aviation disaster in the U.S. since 2009 and the worst since the plane crashed in Queens right after 9/11. Dozens of people dead, probably, the number's probably going to be about 67. Investigation has just begun. The echoes of it reverberating from airport to airport across the United States. And we were at LAX, didn't stop people there from getting on planes. John Baird talked to a woman named Mary Lou from New Jersey, who was flying back there from LAX this morning.
So I just wondered if I could get your reaction to what happened last night and how you feel about flying today.
You know, I fly a lot, obviously, so there's always that thought. But, you know, you have to keep living. You got to keep doing your job. And you just hope that whatever happened, whatever mistake happened, that they certainly rectify it and learn from that mistake.
Are you flying on business?
I am.
And yep. You do typically?
I do, yeah. I fly about 70,000 miles a year.
Wow, and that's shocking what happened. Shocking.
It was, yeah, especially when it's, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't know what the details were. I'm sure
you don't know what happened.
Right, exactly. So I just, you know, like I said, I hope they can figure out what happened. It's awful, those poor people. And, you know, you never know when you get on an airplane, but you never know when you get in a car either.
Yeah, statistically, flying on a commercial airliner, much safer driving someplace. Mary Lou says her father was a longtime airline captain. Her brother was a pilot, too. But she never really asked him about the safety aspect because she thought it was sometimes better not to think about it. LA is using a new $100 million software system to deal with pay for city employees, and we've been reporting on issues with it for a while. Now we're hearing about big problems for firefighters, some of them getting no pay. After everything they've been through over the past few weeks, obviously we can't have that. City Council member Tim McOsker talked to our Craig Figner about it. He used some fire language, said he's organizing a strike team to deal with the problems.
It's unacceptable that firefighters would not be paid properly, but we have experienced, since the system went live, a number of inaccuracies on how firefighters get paid.
There were some firefighters who per paycheck were being shorted for whatever reason, maybe up to $1,000.
Right. There were a variety of issues that were happening, and in some cases firefighters were seeing their accumulated sick time or vacation time fall off the books. Unacceptable.
Is this just a matter of the complexity of the payroll structure for firefighters and the different levels of pay based on the work they're doing? Is it a workday problem? Is there something else nefarious?
No, there's nothing nefarious, but the time is put into one system and then it's converted over to the workday system, and we're identifying whether that extra step might be the problem. And if it is the problem, you either eliminate the extra step or you figure out how the step works. Because, again, it is unacceptable that anybody not get paid, but certainly we all know in Los Angeles at this time, firefighters and first responders need to be paid properly. They can't be worrying about anything but putting out these fires.
The city's waiting on Workday to come up with some sort of solution to this problem. Don't look now, but we could get more rain next week. We badly need it, but it could mean bad news for the burn areas. There is a storm currently over the ocean, bringing heavy rain to the north, expected to move down the coast, get to Ventura and L.A. counties late Tuesday into Wednesday. They're saying now light rain, not that blanket rain that hits everybody at the same time, although there is a slight risk of an atmospheric river type situation. So stay tuned. Still a little bit too early to tell for real. And that's the LA Local for this January 30th, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory, all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Stay connected, 97.1 FM. Ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Odyssey app, search for KNX News. I'm Alex Silverman. Back tomorrow. See you.